chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 and see what Paul talks about here. He says this, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. He says that twice, doesn't he? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Those of you, those of us who are in Christ, we're believers in Christ, we're followers of Christ, we have stepped over from darkness into light, we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. He has saved us through his power, not through our abilities, but because of his grace, those of us who are in Christ, that is who this is talking about. It says you, me, us, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. So why? Why not to lie? Why don't lie? Why does Paul write, do not lie? Why is it written in Titus, God doesn't lie? Why is this such an important topic? It's because we are implored to seek the things above. And maybe that's the takeaway from today. Maybe that's the takeaway. Maybe that's just my takeaway. Are you seeking the things above? That's just a question that comes out of that passage to me. Are you seeking the things above? What are you chasing? What are you working for? What are you working after? What are you thinking on? What are you spending your days and your nights doing? Are you seeking the things above? It says God is creating in each of us something new. Those who are in Christ are being created new. We're being renewed. We're being, I love the word out of Scripture, redeemed. If you think about this idea of renewal or redemption, verse 10 there it says, our new self is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its Creator. I was thinking about this actually just last night, just yesterday, and I was thinking about the renewal of paintings, you know, paintings that were painted hundreds of years ago. I'm sure some of us have seen paintings like that. They can often look muted, the colors maybe faded, maybe even yellowed. And this happens because a lot of times the artists, they would paint a beautiful, very colorful painting, and then they varnish it. They put a varnish over it, and the varnish protects the paint. So it can't be messed up. It can't, you know, something splatters on it, it lands on the varnish, it doesn't ruin the paint. What happens is this varnish, what people didn't know when they used it, is that over time the varnish yellows. Have you ever seen old paintings and they kind of have that dark, muted, yellow tinge to them, right? So there's a whole profession of people who renew old paintings. And the first step is to remove the old varnish without damaging the paint underneath. But I was reading about this. It's very interesting. That's what Christ does with us. We were made in the image of God, right? We talk about Genesis. We go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3 all the time. God created everything out of his word. When he came to the point where he created man and woman, he used the pattern, remember? He used the pattern of himself, and he created us in his image. We are literally, Scripture says, the image bearers of God. We were created in his image. We were perfect. We were shiny. We were bright. The paint looked good. It was colorful. And then guess what happened? Sin. Sin muted that color. It's like the varnish you put on. You think, you know, the artist that put that varnish on there, they thought, man, I'm going to put this on here to protect the paint. But what did it do? It aged, and it ruined the painting, literally. Same as sin does with us. It mutes our colors. It disconnects us from a relationship with God. And Scripture says what Paul's saying here is that God is wanting to renew us. He wants to wipe off all that old garbage. Did you hear in the Scripture it says, because of these things, I listed off anger, wrath, malice, all these things. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. God's wrath for sin remains. And he doesn't like it. But because of what Christ has done for us in offering himself up for our sin, we can be renewed. We can be literally remade, redeemed to what God had planned for us in the beginning. We can shine more brightly. We can wipe off all that dirt and that grime and that sin that so easily besets us. It's a sin that holds us back from becoming who God wants us to be. And so when we think about this idea of lying, I just want you to keep that in your mind, because I want to really explore this. Why does God say, do not lie? We've taken off the old self, and we're being remade in his image. We're putting on the new self. And here's the important thing, is that you and I are being renewed and recreated in the image of Christ, and that you and I will become more and more like Christ. It's just to think this through in a corollary, and it says this: if you're lying to yourself and to others, you are not becoming more like Christ. It's kind of the opposite of that, right? We're supposed to be becoming more like Christ, but if we're lying to ourselves or we're lying to others, then we're not becoming more like Christ. Now, I don't know about you. When I was growing up, hearing the Ten Commandments, and talking about lying and being caught in lies and stuff like that, I used to think probably Scripture was only talking about the most egregious kind of lying, the worst kind of lying. For instance, mom gets home and she looks at you and she said, "Who broke this?" I'm unfortunately an only child, so I would try. Well, you make something up, right? It's easy for some of you. Caitlin's like, "Hannah broke it, of course." Hannah's like, "I did not. Caitlin did that." I mean, they've got each other to blame. I didn't have anybody to blame. I didn't get off very good trying to lie my way out of stuff. But I thought maybe that's the kind of lying that we were talking about here. You know, I love this saying, and I don't quote stuff outside Scripture very often in messages, but there's a quote by Mark Twain that I love, and he says this: if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. I like that because my memory's getting bad. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything, right? You don't have to, because what happens when you tell one lie? Then you have to tell another lie to cover that lie and another lie to cover that lie, and pretty soon you're not sure. The web that you've woven is so deep and so thick, you're like, I don't remember what I've said anymore. And what happens? You end up getting caught in your own web, right? You get caught. So what lying... To understand what lying is, we have to understand what truth is. So I'm going to take a look at a couple definitions. Truth first is this: sincerity in action, character, and utterance. It's the body of real things, real events, real facts. But how about a biblical definition for truth? Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Truth is the self-expression of God. God literally is truth. You remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We talked about when we did the series of God is good, God is love, God is truth. These are not saying God is truthful. God's like a good God. But God is literally, in his character, good. God literally, in his character, is truth. And when you really get a hold of that, you see that any kind of lie, any kind of darkness, any kind of deception is really what? Anti-truth. It's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's exactly the opposite of what God wants for us. God is all that is good, all that is right, all that is true, all that is love. Lying, deceit, is the opposite of that. But it starts with a simple lie, and we lie to protect the lie, and before long we develop a habit of lying. We justify and we rationalize and we convince ourselves it's okay, but it's not. It's not okay because lying is anti-God. But God is not only telling us don't lie because it's anti-God, anti-truth, anti-love, but it's also because we are all members of one body. And as Americans, we often forget. We tend to lean away from the idea of real, true community body. There are other cultures that are more connected community-wise. American culture, Western culture, we're not that connected. We're pretty independent, right? We're about to celebrate. We have a whole national holiday for independence, right? Next Sunday, in fact. We'll talk about that later. Next Sunday is going to be interesting. There's going to be a parade exactly at the time of the worship. So we're thinking about what we're going to do and some modifications for that. It should be fun. Keep watching the email and text this week. We'll see what we do. But we have a whole holiday around our idea of independence, right? Independence as a country, independence as people, independence as individuals. Scripture, through this series of one another's, has taught us a lot about how we are connected as a body, as a body of Christ, as a church. I want to read Ephesians 4, if you'll turn to that. I'm going to get to that in just a second here. Ephesians 4, starting verse 11. And I'm going to start, I really only want one or two verses out of this passage, but the part I want to read starts with the word therefore. And you should, anytime you read the word therefore in Scripture, you know that it refers to something that came before, right? So it would be difficult for us to start a Scripture verse right now with therefore, because everybody would be like, therefore what? So we're going to go back, we're going to back up a little bit. This is a good thing to do when you're studying Scripture. Is to make the connections as you read a passage. So before we get to the therefore, we're going to start in verse 11 of chapter 4, and we're going to read down. And I said it was chapter 4, but it is. Here we go. Where am I? Okay. It says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. I love that part. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, we can, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. He's talking about us. We're that body that's being built. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice of every kind of impurity. But it is not that way. It is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, because of these things, because of what we just read, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. You see how that all connects? The whole idea, this whole story of the equipping of the saints in the church. Remember, saints are those who are in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a follower of Christ, you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're baptized, you're walking with him, you're a saint. So when he says saints in Scripture, you read saints in Scripture, that's you, that's us. So he's saying saints are equipped in the church by those roles in the church of that God has set aside, that we are to speak the truth in love, grow up in every way to be like him, and that we are a body held together in Christ. So whatever we do, it affects one and the other. If one of us is sick, that affects everybody. If one of us lies, that affects everybody. We are to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. And therefore, having put away falsehood, we speak the truth to our neighbors. For we are members one of another. We put off falsehood and we speak truth because we are connected one to another. What I want you to see today is God didn't just choose some pet sins. I think often we'll read the Ten Commandments, and you're like, you know, God just, he needed a list of bad stuff, so he made up a list. Here's a list. Don't do these things. Don't do these 10 things. Lying is wrong because it violates truth, and God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said this about himself. In fact, lying denies our relationship with God, doesn't it? If you think about it, to lie is to deny our relationship with God because God is truth. Lying also breaches our relationship with one another because we are all members of one body, connected one to another, and commanded to put away falsehood and speak truth with our neighbors. If we're lying to each other, and we're lying to ourselves, and we're lying to God, Scripture's pretty clear. We are not coming, or we're not becoming more like Christ. But he wants to renew us. He wants to create us new in his image as we put off the old and we put on the new. Psalm 86:11 says this, and this can be a prayer. You might even want to write this down. Well, I'm also going to look up something in John real quick. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name," as Rick read today and mentioned. It's not a fear like I shirk back like I'm a, you know, afraid like maybe of spiders. I'm not afraid of spiders. Somebody I know really well is deathly afraid of spiders. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. We're talking about, like Rick mentioned, it's like a respect. It's more than that, though, isn't it? If you think about it. Because that respect and fear is predicated upon the understanding that God created everything with just the words out of his mouth. I don't know about you, but I fear and respect that alone. And again, like Rick said, I think when we get to heaven and we stand before the Father, even if we're secure in the knowledge that we have and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and that we will be saved, I think there's going to be some quivering and some quavering and some trepidation. There's going to be a lot of joy. There's going to be a lot of excitement. There's going to be a lot of happiness. But I think it's going to be like, there's a reason in Revelation that you read that the people that stood before him and the creatures that surrounded God and the angels and everybody just said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." They didn't have anything else they could say because God is so amazing and he's so mighty and he's so awesome. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." And maybe we've lost a little bit of that old-fashioned fear of God. What do you think? Maybe, I think it's possible. We're not. And again, when I say fear, I'm not like tremble scared fear. I'm like creator created fear. You know what I'm talking about? I think we've lost a little bit of that. I think we've lost a little bit of that. To regain that, let me read John 8. Jesus said to the Jews, verse 31 and 32, it says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so maybe the beginning of the fear of God is the race, the journey, the desire to be truthful, to gain truth, to understand truth. Again, you know where I'm going to go with this? Where will we find truth? Where are we going to find the truth, folks? We've got to study this word. Whoa. We've got to fill our minds and our hearts with this word. We've got to read it. We've got to consume it. It has to consume us. Scripture says the word of God is going to go out and it's going to do work. If you read it, it's going to do surgery on you. It's going to divide thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I love that. Your thoughts and attitudes out of line with the thoughts and attitude of Scripture, read Scripture and God will do surgery on your heart. And he will correct. And he will he'll bring you into line. Maybe we need to return just some of our time from the other things we're doing, whatever it is. Video games, TV, streaming, social media, whatever it is. Other hobbies. Take some of that time and return it to God and get to know a God who is truth and who is love and who is good, and allow him to renew us. That idea of renewal, that concept of renewal, it's constant. The old is gone and the new has come, but the idea of renewal, it's like an ongoing process because God is continually molding and shaping and crafting us into his image. And maybe some of us, we've kind of stepped away from that. We got a little molded, we got a little shaped, we came to faith in Christ, we got baptized, we began to walk with him, but somewhere along the way we kind of slipped away a little bit. And maybe it's time to take the words of Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Maybe it's time for us just to ask the Lord to build in us, again, a healthy respect, a love, a fear, if you will, that results in our obedience, our submission to him, our perfect, if you will, fellowship, that we give ourselves to a Savior and say, send me. Here I am, send me. Whether it's Mexico or Poland or across the street, next door neighbor, somebody across the desk at work, wherever it is. But before we can do that kind of work, God has to do a work in us, and we have to be changed. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing a song that talks about redemption. We sang it at the beginning of the service, but we're going to sing it again. But as we pray today, take some serious time before the Lord. Ask him to search your heart. I love that scripture. It says, reveal in me, Lord, any wicked ways. Reveal in me, Lord, anywhere where I've stepped away from your truth. Reveal in me, Lord, anywhere where I'm relying on myself and the ways of this world, the pattern of this world, instead of the truth of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are grappling with this, this is heavy. This is heavy, a heavy topic. And maybe at the beginning of the message, we thought to ourselves, this doesn't really apply to me that much. Because I tell the truth. But this is so much more, Lord, I think, of a message about truth than just simple lie telling. I think, Lord, there's something really important here. Something that maybe we've lost touch with. And so, Lord, as we worship now and we sing in a moment, and as we continue to pray and as we go about our day today, and our week this week. Help us, Lord, to think this through, to walk through this with you, to journey through our moments with you and ask the question, am I really walking with you in this moment? Am I really giving you this moment, this day, this time? Am I looking to the things above, or am I just looking to myself and my own needs? We read in Colossians, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. And Lord, help us just to wrestle with that this week. And then sometimes we go to church and it's like, I go to church and I want to go away feeling good. It's like, hey, man, I got a pat on the back and today was great. And some of that is true, Lord, as we worship together with brothers and sisters, we can have an opportunity to worship you. But Lord, if we go away from church every time like that and we're never changed and we're never grappling with things in our own lives, then maybe we're doing ourselves a disservice. And today, maybe, Lord, this is one of those messages where you're getting at the heart of what's wrong in us. So, Lord, help us to learn to have a healthy respect for you born out of what Scripture calls fear. Maybe we need to have a little bit more of that in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you change our hearts, that you use your word to do its surgery on the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Unite our hearts to fear your name. Lord, we trust you. We honor you today. We submit to you. And again, Lord, say, use us in whatever way, however you choose, that we can be a tool in your hand, that we can be clay on the wheel as you shape us. Lord, redeem us again. Renew us again. Renew us afresh. Lord, some of us, we need that garbage of the day and the week and the month washed away. Lord, forgive us for our sin. Remake us anew in your image. And send us out from this place to do your work and your will for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.